Again, I'm so glad that you're here on this Wednesday night. Hope you'll be praying about what the Lord wants to do in our hearts, not just tonight, but be looking towards Sunday and making sure that you're faithful in all of these ways and in these places. I failed to mention a moment ago, there is a list out there to sign up. We're trying to put together some app information for communicating with our church a little bit more effectively. And so if you wouldn't mind, put your name and number on there. If you don't mind receiving text, your number is not going to be published to anyone. I think the way that's designed, it doesn't give numbers or anything. It would just come from one universal number, which would be probably the church number sort of thing, you know. And you would see it, but you'd just be able to get some communication. So please go by and sign up for that. If you would do it, don't forget about the night of the 12th. December the 12th is the following the evening service, the Christmas cookie and cocoa cook-off manger, gingerbread manger. I'm still having to get used to that. Competition. And we'd like you to enter into that. It's always a fun time to be a church-wide fellowship. And so make sure that you're faithful in those things. I know there's several things that we need to pray for tonight. We'll try to mention them in just a moment and spend some time in prayer. But I want us to look at something from the Scripture tonight. In Proverbs chapter 28, you can keep your seat if you would like. There are people, whether you know this or not, in this world, all over this world, and they have the idea that God is hearing their prayer. God is not only hearing their prayer, that God will answer their prayer. But in reality, these particular type of people that is there, they're just wrong. They have a fraudulent idea of what this matter of prayer really is. And I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes on what I'm calling tonight the fraud of a praying man. The fraud of a praying man. And people are out there all over the place, and I believe they're even in the churches. People who think God is hearing your prayer. People who really do believe, honestly, that God's going to answer your prayer. Solomon deals a little bit with that here in Proverbs chapter 28. And I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, and I'm probably going to make a few comments about each one as we move through it. But I really want to build three thoughts around tonight, the final verse in the sequence of Scripture that we'll be reading. But it'll take us a few minutes maybe to get there, and then I'll just briefly share them with you. We'll spend a few moments in prayer. That's why you can remain seated if you would like. As I just make a few comments about these. But look in Proverbs chapter 28 and beginning in verse number 6 is where we'll begin. Proverbs 28 and verse number 6. Now listen to the wording here. There's so much that is here. And I could have broken down each of these verses, A and B, and outlined them separately because there's so much that's here. But that's why I didn't want to get into all of that. I just want to give you the overview and then come back and share three thoughts having to do with these. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now, one thing of many things that I love about the Word of God is how direct God's Word is. If you read and you study God's Word, the Word of God will deal with your flesh. You see, the Lord changed my life when I really started getting into this book, when I really started serving God through the ministry of studying His Word. This is why I press all the time, read your Bible, stay in your Bible. This Bible will tell you what you need to know in life. It will keep you out of sin. The Bible will do all of these things for you. And you look at verse number 6, and there's an interesting thing here that I want you to make sure that you notice in the content, the way this is written. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. Now, that's the man, the woman who just doesn't have much money, but they love God. I mean, they love the Lord with all their heart. God is on their life. They are building their whole world around the Lord. I've known a few people like that. They may not have a whole lot, but boy, they sure love the Lord. I'm thinking right now about my Granny Bridges. She didn't have a whole lot. Lived in a little single wide, dad's mom lived in a little single wide trailer, died at the age of 99, what was it? 94 maybe? Was she 78? Okay, my bad. Messed that one up. Mama was 99. But anyway, she lived alone, little single white trailer. And she got up, I believe, at 3 o'clock every morning, wasn't she? And she prayed till 7 or 8 every morning. Is that right? And prayed and asked God. She walked with the Lord. She didn't have a whole lot. Boy, she loved God. What the Bible is telling us right here is those are the people it's just better to be. And you're going on further, and you see that not only that, but it talks about that it's better to be that person and in the context of it than those who may have money, but they walk in a perverse way. Nothing wrong with having money, right, Brother Joel? He's got so much of it. Nothing wrong with having money. It's great. God blesses you for that. Nothing wrong with that. But the difference is, what lifestyle are you having? God is saying it is a better thing to not have a dime to your name, but you have to walk with Him and to have all the money in the world but have no relationship at all with the Lord. I was thinking about that today, and I wonder what that health and wealth, name it and claim it crowd does with that particular verse right there of how the fact that God says that you can walk with God, but you may not be the richest man on earth. And that's okay, He's letting us know. Look further at verse number 7. He speaks further to us here, and He says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son." He shifts right here to a family dynamic. Do you see that? "Whoso keepeth the law, he is a wise son." But listen to what else He says here. "But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." And we've known many people through the years, I'm sure that we all have, people that just get out there and they run and they hang with the wrong crowd. And could there be a greater burden or a greater hurt on the heart of a mom, or in this case, the Scripture says, a dad, a father, than to know that they poured their life into a son or a daughter, but they're out there running around with the wrong crowd. They're out there causing a bunch of havoc. They're out there causing a bunch of trouble. Companion of riotous people, people that are out there breaking windows, burning down buildings, looting stuff. There's a reason you don't hang around with crowds like that, because the Bible says it is a shame to the Father for that. You see the two different types that there are. You walk with God. He's talking about the righteous person. He's talking about the evil person here, the people who are not having a testimony for the Lord. Look at verse number 8. He says here, "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance." In other words, he cheats in business, forms of business, cheats in trying to make money in his life, and whatever it may, he's trying to capitalize in the wrong, in an unjust way. It says here that he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Doesn't care who they are, just out for themselves. They're going to make a dollar off you in every way that they can. I had a heating and air company come out a couple of weeks ago. My fan motor in my heating and air system went out, and it was warm. What a big problem, but we're going to have to get it replaced. So I called a particular company, and I said, "I want you to come out, and I want you to give me a price, or tell me what the problem is first, and give me a price on getting this thing fixed." And the man came. It was very, very nice, but you could tell when he started talking numbers to me and started talking the cost of being able to get this thing fixed, you could tell that he was shuffling just a little bit. You know, he was trying to get his wording just right, and I just had an uneasy feeling about it. And then he quoted me the number to be able to fix that one motor, and I asked for a breakdown of the parts and the labor. I think that's a legitimate question. What is the breakdown of this? And he said, "Oh, I can't give you a breakdown. It's just one lump sum price." And I was kind to him, and I said, "Well, look, I appreciate you coming," and I went ahead and dismissed him out of the house. I said, "You can go ahead," and I told him, I said, he said he's going to go have lunch. I said, "I'll call you back, and I'll let you know if I want you to come back and fix this." So I called a friend of mine. The reason I called that first company in the first place is because they are the ones that installed the system into my house, and I thought I would give them a chance to come out and do it, and I did not call the friend of mine who was in the industry. So I called the friend of mine in the industry, and I said, "Hey, give me some information." I gave him what I needed, and I gave him the model numbers, the part numbers, the situation. "Let me talk to the boss," he says. He calls me back. Now, look, I am not kidding you when I say it was $800 cheaper. $800 cheaper to do what this company that I know was going to do, that the first company was there. that quoted me the higher number, and I couldn't help but think in my mind, good night, I wasn't comfortable with the way this guy was acting at that time. And that's just that, you know, you pay attention to that kind of thing because you can get an idea if you're about to get taken to the cleaners on something. You pay attention to that. I called the other guy back. He was sitting at the restaurant, his fast food place, and I called him back and I called his name, and I said, look, I'm just going to go a different direction. And he said, okay, you know, chomping on his food. Didn't seem to care that much. Well, the office manager calls me back probably within 10 minutes of the home office. He apparently called him and told him that that I wasn't going to do it. Well, the office manager calls me back and starts inquiring, why are you not going to? I wasn't going to tell him why. They pushed to the point. I finally just went ahead and told him. I said, look, here's the difference, because you were $800 higher. And I said, I know this other company's making money. My friend told me what the cost of the part was, what their cost was. And I have no problem with people making money on me. That's business. But it's the right amount of money. And it was a matter of, I knew how the appliance business worked and how they usually, what the markup usually is. And they were right on target with their markup. And I have no problem. No problem with that. But you can see the difference. $800, their markup was hundreds of percent higher, you know, just on the part alone, not including the labor. And I finally just told them. Of course, they started running down everybody else saying, oh, those people just don't know what they're talking about and all that kind of thing. We got heat at the house. It's working real well right now. No problem whatsoever. And I came out $800 more. There are people out there who will take you in a heartbeat. Let me take it a step further. There are people out there who name the name of Christ who will take you in a heartbeat. And there's nothing wrong with studying out this thing. You just don't simply go with it because they say they're a Christian. No, you study it out. You find out, because there's people out there that whether they may think you have the money or whether you do or don't have the money, they will try to get what they can out of you. And that's what Solomon, this man of wisdom in his book, is talking about in the proverb here. He said, you better watch out and you better be careful. There are people out there that are just out for their own gain. Look further at verse number 9. This is what I really want us to see here tonight. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from, turneth away. Did you see that? He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer. There it is. Underscore that. Even his prayer shall be, somebody tell me that last word, abomination. Even his prayer shall be abomination. Now we can learn something here if we'll just open our hearts and open our Bibles. This matter about the fraud of a praying man. I imagine every one of us attempt to at least pray from time to time. We should. But are we absolutely confident God is hearing our prayer? How much confidence that we have do we have that God is even going to answer our prayer? Notice three things with me about just verse number 9 basically here. First of all, we are seeing the life of defiance. There is the life of defiance. Now, this truth can certainly be found all through these verses, 6, 7, 8, that I've read to you, but particularly in verse number 9, we see it so clearly given to us where the scripture here says, again in verse number 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. What is Solomon? What is the Lord through the pen of Solomon actually referring to there? He that turneth his ear away. In other words, he's shutting his ear down. And such, he's shutting his heart down to the law, meaning the Word of God. Just don't care about God's Word. What the Word of God actually says, the Bible actually says, you just discount it. There are so many people out there today, the reason they don't study God's Word is because they don't want to do what God's Word says they need to do. I've just come to the point in my life, and look, you have to study the Bible, find out what the Bible says. I've come to the point, I genuinely want to do what the Bible says. I'm not saying that it's always right in line with what my flesh wants. We all know that's not true. But I really want to do what God's Word tells me to do. And we see why in just a moment, why that is so, so important. I desire to have God's touch on my life. I desire to walk with Him. The only way I'm going to be able to do that is to observe what is going on in this book and what God is actually saying. How many people have we known through the years who just discount and discredit? They pay no attention to what the Bible says. I tell you, I preached it time and time again. You talk to people, family, friends, whatever it may be. You tell them what the Bible says. You break it down clearly. This is what God's Word says. Now go and do it. Thus saith the Lord. Go and do it. Walk ye in it. Nothing ever changes. Why is that? But yet those very same people, they go about their daily prayer life. In most cases, is when it's an emergency, is when they pray, those type folks. And they pray during those times, but they go about their prayer life, something they really want, something they really desire. And they're taking it to God in prayer. They honestly still think that God is hearing their prayer and that God is going to answer their prayer. God says, no, you turn away from this book, it will not. You better align yourself with the book. And when we knowingly violate and are in defiance to the Word of God, our prayer is literally, the Lord telling us, a total waste of time. You're accomplishing nothing through your prayer when you are knowingly violating the Word of God. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to Sunday school? Why do we come to discipleship classes, Bible studies? Why do we listen to preaching? Why do we read our Bible? It is so we can learn what is defiant against the truth and the law and the Word of God. That's why you do that. So you can know. Therefore, your prayers are not hindered from the Lord. You must know and you must do what God says. Study it that you may know. There is a life of defiance, but there is also a love of desire. A love of desire that is given to us here. Every word that I read, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, obviously give this. But every word that I read, it is rooted in selfishness on the evil aspect of it. It is rooted in a love of personal desire. All of what you want, all of what I may want, all of what our flesh may want. Now keep in mind, I'm talking about good people, remember? People that may name the name of Christ. I'm talking about church-going people. I'm talking about praying people. People who really, within themselves, there is something within them that does desire God. There's just no real commitment to those things of God. Talking about good people. Talking about people just like you and just like me that sit on church seats. Many of us may never even miss a service. But yet we are living our lives so selfishly, just committed to us, to ourselves and ourselves only. Pleasing our flesh, doing what we want, accomplishing what we want out of the whole process of this thing. And again, we have the idea that God's going to answer our prayer. But again, what God is so clearly and evidently telling us right here, clearly and evidently telling us that is if we do not have our life lined up, God's Word, and we're not operating in defiance, if we're hung on our own selfish desires, our own selfish ambitions, God says your prayer is just a waste of time. A fraudulent praying man. You better line up with God's Word. You better know what the Bible says. And you better obey it in every way. And you better not make your life all about you. Your life ain't all about you. You cannot have a love of desire that's loving yourself more than you're loving God. And you're off balancing. God will never, ever honor that. And it's a picture of the prayer of a fraudulent man. Has anybody ever met somebody that is just so incredibly selfish? I've met people through the years, you have too, that are just so selfish. I think of somebody right now in my mind that... You won't get out the door first. I mean, there's not even the slightest chance. Anything that comes up that they have the possibility to go first or to gain more, it doesn't matter what it is. If there is one cheese stick left on the table or one roll left on the table, they're going to eat it. You know what I'm talking about? That, and they're not going to ask. They're just going to take it. Well, you should have got it sooner. Just that mentality. You know what I mean? Just selfish. whatever I can get, whatever I can get. Now look, this is something we struggle with. Okay? We all have that streak of this matter of selfishness that is in us. We just do. It's in our flesh. And something that we ought to work on day in and day out in our life. We should never live a life that is just pleasing ourselves. Our own desires. A love of desire. A life of defiance. These are signs of a fraudulent praying man. A fraudulent praying person. Those type people, their prayers will never, ever get answered. God's not even going to hear it. And that's what God is saying. But notice a third thing here. And we see right here, and don't miss this, there is the label of detest. Detestable label that you get. You get labeled as a detestable person. Look at the scripture and what the Bible says. Verse number 9, again. It says here, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's a strong statement. Do you realize how low you've got to sink in your spiritual life that your prayer even becomes an abomination before God? The word abomination is actually meaning here translated disgusting. Detestable is what the word means. And he is saying that I am labeling you in a detestable fashion. Your prayer is disgusting to me. How on earth do you think that God is going to answer, even hear your prayer, if God himself thinks it's disgusting? And he says a selfish attitude will do that. Not only a selfish attitude, but a defiance to this book knowingly. Look, if we go against the Word of God and we genuinely don't know it, that's why we have to study it and know what God says. We knowingly defy God's word. He said, that is disgusting to me. Every time that you come to me to try to pray, all I can realize, all I can think of, all I can hear is the foul language that you use. Those ungodly people, relationships that you have that you shouldn't have. Those people, those righteous, rioting companions, he actually calls it. All I can see is those wicked actions that you're out there, the things that you're looking at, whatever it might be, it is disgusting to me. What God is saying. Now, if you notice that the word abomination that he uses here, it's remarkable because he lumps this matter of prayer and our lack of taking it serious by the things we've discussed, he lumps it in and he connects it together with some of the most heinous and ungodly sin that you will find in the Bible. Sins like homosexuality. God's get the book of Genesis, the book of Leviticus, the book Paul to Timothy, and then Jude and others. All through the Bible, God says this is sin, and he calls it abomination. Imagine how low we sink in our spiritual life. That our prayer to God, our main means of communication, is abomination. It's abomination. You and I need to be real careful because we still have the idea in our shallow, carnal, spiritual condition that God's hearing our prayer. It's okay. God's hearing our prayer. And God's going to answer my prayer. If we're not careful, we'll get mad at God when he doesn't do it on our own time frame. When in God's way and in God's eyes and in God's heart, God looks at us and he says, abomination. Every word that he hears us say, abomination. God will not. I joke about this and I say it frequently. I want to walk with God in such a way that in that 1 second time frame, that I need God's intervention. And I always use the example when my car is driving off the cliff. Amen, Ethan. When your car's driving off the cliff. All right? In that 1 second time frame, I don't want to cry out to God and God say, abomination. I want to be able to contact God. And in just these few verses, how convicting this was to my life. in just these few verses. He says, what will do that is if you violate, if you ignore, if you're defiant against my word, it'll do it. Abomination. And if you are just totally consumed with self, abomination. We could pull two or three other things. But remember tonight when we pray that we better make sure we're doing this right. Number one, we're wasting our time, in other words. Otherwise. Number two, we're never going to get a thing done for God. We must pray with pure heart, with clean life. Love course to do that. Several things to pray about. Continue to pray for Miss Amy, that the Lord would touch her body, heal her body, do a mighty work there. Thank God for what He has done. Keep praying.